We certainly appreciate all that has gone before, and appreciate the good singing, prayer that's been offered up, and appreciate the thoughts that Brother Joe has brought to our attention this morning. So many things that he's stirred my mind to think about when he talks about the world and love. My mind thinks of John 3:16, and that text, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." You know, we were studying a Bible verse with our children last night, and I told them that every one of those presents they had under that tree was a gift to them, and that gift came because of love. Every one of them. If they had a gift from their parents, we gave them that gift because we love them. A gift from their grandparents, they had that gift because their grandparents loved them. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved that he gave the gift of his Son to us." We have that gift of the Son because of God's love for us. But it says, "God so loved the world," and I appreciate Brother Joe mentioning the word world in the Bible, because that word world comes from the Greek word cosmos, which means orderly arrangement. And we may say, well, why does the word world mean different things in different places? Well, there's a lot of orderly arrangements. Sometimes the word world refers to this planet that we're standing on. And I would say this is an orderly arrangement. There was no Big Bang that put this together. This is an orderly arrangement, you understand. Yeah. When it comes to the world that God loved, that he gave his Son for, that's an orderly arrangement. God's people, although they might be scattered across every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, God knows them in such an orderly way that when the Lord comes back again, he'll be able to separate them as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. We'll see that orderly arrangement on that day. But sometimes the word world refers to those who are not Jews, the Gentiles. Sometimes the word world refers to the Roman Empire. You remember in Luke chapter 2, it says there came out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now, I had never paid Roman taxes, so that world doesn't apply to me or to you. But in that case, it meant all those in the Roman Empire would be taxed. So we find, as Brother Joe also mentioned, that we are not of this world. The Lord's kingdom is not of this world. And what that means is there is a world out here that the devil rules over, the god of this world, the prince of this world. And that world, the Bible says in James chapter 4, if you're a friend of that world, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. That's pretty strong language, but it's even stronger in 1 John chapter 2, where he tells us in verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That's strong language. Verse 16 identifies this world even clearer. He says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." That's the comfort that we have this morning. This world, as Brother Joe mentioned to us, it'll pass away. The elements will melt with fervent heat and all this will be gone one day. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 33, and I beg an interest in your prayers what time we stand before you. As Brother Joe has gotten us stirred up, I still feel inclined to speak the message that we feel the Lord has laid on our heart this morning, and I hope you'll pray for us that the Lord will bless us as we look at this in Exodus chapter 33. It says in verse 7, of Exodus 33. "And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. Verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now notice here in this text, verse 11, Moses went out to this place they called the tabernacle. That was a place where they worshiped the Lord in the Old Testament. And Moses went in the tabernacle, and the cloudy pillar, you know, the Israel in that day, as we sang the song this morning, the manna fell down every morning upon the ground. But in that day, the Lord led them with a cloudy pillar by day and a pillar of fire by night. In this case, Moses is in the tabernacle in that cloudy pillar, which is a picture of God's glory, a picture of God's presence, descended down on that tabernacle. And verse 11 tells us that the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. I'm going to tell you, one of the worst things about 2020 is the fact that we've missed out on a lot of face-to-face interaction. Not being able to be in one another's presence has been challenging. It's been difficult. Having to use the phone or video conference or Zoom in some of our services, it's challenging. But Moses was speaking to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him face-to-face. Now, I want us to be very clear. Moses didn't see God's face. As verse 20 tells us, God told Moses, "You can't see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." Moses didn't see God's face, but the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. He was speaking to him like we would in conversation back and forth. What that means is he spoke to him face to face as a man speaking to his friend. God didn't speak to Moses through a vision, or through a dream, or through an angel, or through a parable, or any other ways that we find that God spoke to his people in many different ways. But he spoke to him just like you and me, having a conversation back and forth where God spoke, Moses responded, God responded. It was back and forth, face to face is how Moses talked to him. Now, that's a pretty special thing that Moses had, speaking to the Lord as a man speaks to his friend. I want you to think for a moment. There are some things that you wouldn't just tell anybody, but you tell your friend. If it was your friend, you'll tell them a lot more than you tell just somebody else. You'll tell a friend. I'm going to tell you, there are some people in the Bible who the Bible calls friends of God. And God told them some things that he didn't tell anybody else. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is a very special thing, especially when you consider the fact that God knows some things. God has all the answers, and we have a lot of questions. We have a lot of concerns. We have a lot of things that are on our mind. But the only one who really can help us with that is the Lord. And the Lord tells these things to his friends. You turn back to Genesis chapter 18. I want to notice with you that God was in the presence of Abraham, his friend. In fact, God calls Abraham his friend, and many places say that Abraham was the friend of God. Well, in Genesis chapter 18, God's speaking to Abraham, and it seems like it's face-to-face interaction. But as he's talking to Abraham, he's about to leave. But where he's going is to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I'm going to tell you what the way people in this world like to live and think it's some new lifestyle or something brand new. I'm going to tell you, it's thousands of years old and it ends in destruction every time. And here in Sodom and Gomorrah, they're about to be destroyed in the 19th chapter. But in the 18th chapter, as the Lord's on his way and they rise up, Abraham and two angels with him. This is what he says in verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" This is the question the Lord asked. Should I hide from Abraham? Here, he is my friend. I'm going to tell him what I'm about to go do because he's my friend. Now, if you consider for a moment what a blessing and privilege it would be to be considered the friend of God so that the Lord would tell you things that he didn't tell anybody else. Now turn with me to Psalm 25, and I want to prove to you that it is scriptural that the Lord has some secrets that he doesn't just tell anybody. Notice what it says here in Psalm 25, verse 14. It says, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant." God's got some secrets. But this text tells us he tells these secrets to some people. Who does he tell them to? He tells them to those that fear him. Those who fear him, he tells his secrets. Now we say, well, you know, what if he told it to more people? Well, I'm going to tell you, there's some things that are not believable. If you go to Habakkuk chapter 1, this is a very small book, not one that we turn to very often. But the Lord tells Habakkuk something that I could tell you something. Notice what he says here in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. And Apostle Paul quotes this in Acts 13. But in Habakkuk 1, verse 5, he says, "Behold ye among the heathen in regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you." Now, here's the thing about the Lord's secret. You could go and tell God's secrets if you want to. Now, if I tell you my secrets, I'd appreciate you not going and telling everybody about them. But you get a secret from God, you can go tell whoever you want. But here's the problem. They're not going to believe you. They're not going to believe you. You could go and preach on Sodom and Gomorrah's doorsteps and tell them fire and brimstone's coming, and they're not going to believe you. You can go and tell them God's secrets and they won't believe. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, it says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" You can go and tell these things and they won't believe you. And I want to prove that to you this morning. You go with me to Matthew chapter 11. Here we think about God speaking to Moses face to face. Well, there are some people who had that opportunity to speak with the Lord face to face. Can you imagine walking on this earth side by side with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh? Can you imagine what that's like? What it would have been like? Well, Jesus came in this world and he began to preach and to teach and to tell all these things. You think they believed him? You think they followed after what he was saying? Well, the Bible is very clear that they did not. In fact, that instead they sought to kill him for the things that he was saying. And so then Jesus says these words here in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25. It says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth." He's praying to the Father and he's thanking him. Now, if you stop and try to figure out, what are you thankful to the Lord for? I would imagine what he's about to thank his Father for is not on your list. In fact, you would wish it was the exact opposite of what he's thanking God for. Just consider these words. "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Notice Jesus is thanking God for hiding these secret things, these mysterious things from the wise and prudent. He's thankful the Lord didn't show it to them, but instead he revealed it to babes. I find myself on occasion just wishing that the Lord would show the Lord's people the truth. Just show them the truth of these things so that they'll understand and they'll see and they'll come to church and they'll worship and serve the Lord. But you know, the fact of the matter is, the wise and prudent are so caught up in themselves, so caught up in what they know, that they would not turn around and give glory to God. They just lift up with pride for what they knew, what the Lord had showed them. But God revealed them to babes. If you look at the Lord's disciples that followed him, you don't find the rich and the educated. You find fishermen. You find these common, ordinary people do you find people that he calls here babes. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13 and notice that Jesus, instead of speaking plainly to the people, he stops doing that. He stops speaking plainly to them. And he starts speaking parables. And the first parable that we find in the book of Matthew is here in the 13th chapter. He tells the parable of the sower. And the disciples in verse 10 are confused. They said, why speakest unto them in parables? He was starting something different than he had been doing. You go read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's clear, it's crystal clear what he's speaking. But when they refuse the knowledge and instruction that he gives them, he starts speaking unto them in parables. And they say, why are you doing that? And notice what he says in verse 11. Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Notice he says, you've been given this, but they haven't. The Lord is withholding them from understanding these things because it's only for you to know. I'm going to tell you, when I stop and ponder these thoughts, Moses spoke to God face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And here we come to an opportunity for people to speak face to face with the Lord and speaking to Jesus. And some people refuse to do that, wouldn't listen to it, wouldn't hear that. And so he stopped telling them the things that he was telling them. But he continued telling his disciples. Turn with me to John chapter 15. I want to notice something that Jesus says to them that is so important in John chapter 15. He says, and this ties into what Brother Joe was teaching to us earlier, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Boy, I tell you what, I'm not really a big fan of getting a job or instruction that I'm not capable of doing. But here he's telling them, this is my commandment to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now you think about how strong and how great God's love is towards us. We can't even comprehend God's love towards us. And so therefore, the standard by which we measure ourselves is not the standard that everyone else is doing. It's the standard that he's already done. His standard, that's the bar that he set, that we love one another as he has loved us. Verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I remember when I was in the Air Force, I had a roommate, and he considered himself agnostic. And he wouldn't go to church, and I invited him to come, and he says, no, I've had some bad experiences at church. They all just seem to be focused on money and focused on the wrong things. I said, well, come with me. Come with me, and I promise you'll be different. I never could get him to come. But he started to struggle with the idea of here we are in the Air Force, here we are soldiers, and here we are going out and fighting and possibly dying. And he says, I'm just not sure that I'm really struggling philosophically with that, whether these things are right or not, going out and dying and doing what we do. And I point him to this verse, John 15, 13. I said, I'll tell you why it's important, because there is no greater love that you can have for somebody than to give your life for them. And he loved that. He latched onto this verse. It's a beautiful verse, a wonderful verse. But now notice verse 14, what Jesus says to follow that on. Ye are my friends. If, notice this, you're my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now, for the time that we have left, I'd like for us to stop and consider. Moses spoke with God face to face. So did Abraham. So did the disciples. But what about us? Do we have the opportunity to speak with God face to face like a man speaks with his friend? Well, if we're going to do that, as Jesus says here, there are some things that have to happen. I believe we can. I believe that we can speak with God face to face. And I want to set out to show you how. First, this text tells us that you are God's friend if you do what he commands you to do. You know, it's a great blessing for us to sing and stop and consider that what a friend we have in Jesus. Isn't that a great blessing to think that we have a friend who sticks closer than a brother? We have a friend who is with us in the good times and in the bad. We have a friend, as the Bible says, who loves at all times. Whether things are going well or whether they're not, He's our friend. No matter what our circumstances are, poor, weak, and worthless, though I am, I have a rich, almighty friend. Oh, I'll tell you, it's a blessing for us to stop and think what a friend we have in Jesus. But the question that we need to ask ourselves is, are we a friend to Him? The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 11 that He's a friend of publicans and sinners. But are we a friend to Him? Well, this text tells us that we need to do what He commands us to do if we're going to be His friend. We need to understand the Lord's commandments and do them. You know, the blessing of that in 1 John chapter 5 is the Lord says His commandments are not grievous. They're not hard. They're not difficult. They're not impossible for us to accomplish. His commandments aren't grievous. But if you want to be His friend, you've got to do what He commands you to do. There's also something else. If you turn me to Numbers chapter 12, Moses had something that I fear is really lost in today's world. And it's really tragic that we are missing this. In today's world, we have people who are so preoccupied with themselves. And humility and meekness is so lacking, it seems, in the world in which we live. But notice this in Numbers chapter 12. This is a very, very interesting chapter. If you ever go and read and study this chapter, Moses married an Ethiopian woman, a black woman. And his brother and sister, Miriam and Aaron, they actually spake out against Moses for doing that. They thought it was wrong. They didn't like it. And then they started getting filled with pride in verse 2. And it says, "Has the Lord spoken only by Moses? Had He not spoken also by us?" And it says, "And the Lord heard it." In verse 3, it says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." There's a characteristic Moses had, that he was very meek, very humble, very lowly. He had the idea that others were better than himself, and he viewed himself as very low. He was very meek, this text tells us, above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And so who spoke up in his defense? He didn't speak up in his own defense. Notice it says, "The Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and said, Come out ye three to the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out." Boy, if you ever want to see a picture of the Heavenly Father getting His children in line. I have three children. Now sometimes I got to get them all down and sit them all down and get them all going the right direction. Well, here the Heavenly Father is going to get these three siblings. And he says, "Come out, ye three, to the tabernacle of the congregation." Verse 5. "And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream." Now notice, the Lord's drawing a contrast between what Moses has and what everyone else has. He said, "If I speak to a prophet, I'll do it in a vision. I'll do it in a dream." Verse 7. "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. In the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Now the Lord tells him, if I talk to a prophet, I'll do it in a vision. I'll do it in a dream. I might do it in a dark speech, which means parable. I might do it in all these other ways, but not with him. I'm going to speak to him mouth to mouth, as a face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And so who is going to take up for his friend? Lord's taking up for his friend on this occasion and taking up for Moses. I'm going to tell you, if we want the Lord to speak to us face to face, we must be his friend by keeping his commandments. We must be a meek an humble person. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 34 that the Lord is near those who are of a contrite and broken spirit. He's near the humble. He's close by the humble. Because if you think about it, have you ever been around those prideful people where it's their way or the highway? Their way or the highway? You ever been around folks like that? Well, I'll tell you who does not get along well with people like that, and that's the Lord. Because if you think about it, their way or the highway, that can only be said about the Lord. We can't ever say that. We can't say we should get our way and this is the way it ought to be done. My way or the highway. That's what the Lord can say, not us. So the Lord don't get along with people who are not humble. But you know, humble people get along well with the Lord and they get along well with one another. Have you ever noticed that? You have humble people. They get along just great. It's when people are full of pride and full of themselves that things don't go well. If you want to speak to the Lord face to face, you must be humble. You must be meek like Moses. You must keep the Lord's commandments. You must be His friend. That's the first step. And I'm going to tell you, that's a daily struggle. That's a daily task. But Moses, there's something else that you need. Where was Moses? He was in the tabernacle. He was in the place. He was in the right place, wasn't he? He was in the place where the Lord had designed that He would meet with His people. He was in the right place. He was in the right frame of mind. He had been doing the right things for years. He had been doing the right things. So he had been keeping the Lord's commandments for years. He was very meek and humble. And now here he is in the tabernacle where the Lord promised to meet with them. All right. So if we're going to meet with the Lord face to face, where do we need to be? Turn me to Psalm 27. And I want to notice with you another Bible character by the name of David, who I believe, if you look at all these Psalms that he wrote and then survey his life, David spent a lot of quality time with the Lord. But in that quality time, he realized that there's a special place. A special place to go. And so here he is, David, king over all of Israel. And he says this in verse 4 of Psalm 27. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Now, if I ask you this morning, what's the one thing that you want? What's the one thing that you want? Here David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. And that's what I'll seek after. That will I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Now, I want you to stop and consider this text for a moment. This is the one thing David wanted, that he may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. And where would we go if we were going to talk to the Lord face to face? Wouldn't it be to His house? Wouldn't it be to the house of the Lord? Well, that's where David wanted to dwell all the days of his life for two reasons. You see these two reasons he gives? One is to behold the beauty of the Lord. You know where I see the Lord most beautiful? It's here in His house. In the house of God, that's where I see the beauty of the Lord. If you think about what is beautiful about a person, wouldn't we say it's their face? Wouldn't we say that the beautiful part of a person is their face? Just think about the face of God, how glorious and beautiful that must be. The face of the Lord. He says to behold the beauty of the Lord, and the second one is to inquire in His temple. David's basically saying, I got questions, and I want to ask questions that the Lord has the answers to. I want you to think for a moment. You say, well, what does that have? All right, so let's just say, I try to be humble. I try to do what the Lord tells me to do. I come to the Lord's house. Come to the Lord's house and meet with Him there. How can I talk to Him face to face? Well, this is one place. I'm going to mention another one in just a moment. The way I see it is you come to the Lord's house with questions. I believe the Lord is going to give you answers when you get here. I believe that you'll see that interaction. And I believe, you may call me crazy, but this place is called the house of prayer. And I believe when we come to this place, if you want to talk to the Lord face to face, then start praying. That's when you do the talking, when you start praying. And as you're praying, start listening. Start listening to the songs. You know the songs in the song service. We're to speak to one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. You know there's a way in which we communicate with one another in such an orderly way in the song service. But there's another way that the Lord communicates to us while we're singing. The Lord's in the midst of the church singing praises with us. And He's speaking to you through those songs. I'm just amazed in some song services I sit when I'm paying attention like I should. And I notice the words of a song and how they fit. How they fit with whatever situation I have or whatever's going on. I hear something in the songs that wakes me up and I realize the Lord's speaking to me. Oh, what a blessing when you realize the Lord's speaking to you. And even during the preaching service, you start praying to the Lord while the preacher's up there preaching. I believe you can get an answer right then. An answer right from the Lord Himself. Where the Bible says in the preaching of the gospel, there's power and there's demonstration of the Spirit where the secrets of your heart are made manifest. You can get an answer right then in the sermon. Maybe an answer for a question when you got here or a question since you've been here or whatever the case may be. The Lord can speak to you in that way. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord has spoken to me, and I don't believe it's just going to be unique to me because I'm a preacher. I believe that there's another way you can speak the Lord face to face. There have been times in my life where I, in a moment of prayer, have asked the Lord a question. This didn't just happen one time. I'll ask the Lord a question, and you know what I'll hear? I'll hear a Bible verse inside of me, a Bible verse in my mind and my heart. And that has been the response. I remember when I've told y'all the story here when I felt like the Lord was leading us to move back over here. I'll tell you who gets involved in those conversations that will bother you, and that's the devil. And I went a whole year from the first time I felt that to when anything started to happen. And the devil starts working on you and starts saying, and if you'll turn me to Acts 1, I'll show you what happened. The devil starts working on you and say, you're crazy. That's not going to happen. No, you're just coming up with that. That's not going to happen. Well, one time I just was walking and I prayed to the Lord, Lord, when is this going to happen? When is it going to happen? And Acts 1 verse 7 came into my mind. I'm going to tell you that was not an accident or coincidence. Acts 1 7 says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. I'm going to tell you, I got an answer right then. That was a face-to-face interaction to me and the Lord speaking to me. And I believe that the more familiar you are with this book, the more you'll hear the Lord speaking to you. Because just think, what if I'd have never read that verse? It wouldn't have come into my mind because I wouldn't have ever known what it said. But if I know the verse and I've heard the verse and I'm familiar with the verse, the Lord speaks to you in that way. So if you want to hear the Lord speaking, I believe you're going to have to get very familiar with this book. I've been around some of God's people who I believe have been speaking to the Lord quite a bit. So I get around them, and the things they say and the things they tell me, they didn't make that up. The interaction that they have. And I'll tell you, it would be a great blessing for you and I, a great joy and wonder for us to have that precious fellowship with the Lord where we speak to Him the way Moses has. May we ever live to faithfully serve the Lord so that we can hear Him speak to us in such a way. I thank you for your good attention this morning.